This should definitely be 30 minutes. What's up? It's Weekend Weebs, episode 34, July 4th now of 2023. I'm Alonzo, and my co-host Jason with me, and today is a monumental day.
Is it a monumental day?
Yeah, man, it's the end of another season.
And the 4th of July.
And the 4th of July, yep. America. But yeah, today's a good day. So, Hell's Paradise is officially over. So all our shows for the spring season have ended. How'd you feel about that finale?
I thought it was good. I low-key think it was the best one out of the three.
I also feel like it was the best one.
Because it left off with, like, an actual cliffhanger, kind of. And we got to see pretty much everybody who we felt could use Tao was able to utilize it. And when they figured out how to kill the Tenzin, like, completely. So
when we do a little description
recap
before we...
Recap. I'll let you rock.
Oh, you want me to do it? Okay. Let me see. Let me just pull up some pictures, jog my memory real quick. So, yeah, the last episode ended with Shion, the blind samurai, Asaemon. He shows up at the end of the last episode and cuts down the flower creature, like, in their final form. So then this episode picks off with them fighting. Shion's fighting it by himself at first, and he's, you know, he's getting a good hang of his Tao, and he's starting to figure it out a little bit, but he is getting a little beat up, and he got hit with the flower pincers a couple times, but he was able to, like, cut himself off.
Yeah. He was like, shing, 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 cut his, like, arms, his head.
Yeah.
And he was like, fuck it, I'm not gonna die here, and if I do, then I deserve to die, basically. It was all or nothing.
And he bit the last one off. So now we know that basically if you're implanted with those, it's not necessarily a death sentence.
Yeah. If you get them at the root before they, like, really start to take over, you're good pretty much.
Yeah.
From what we've seen. And then he also took some medicine later that what's her name had?
The Shinobi. I still don't know her name, especially a U. But yeah, he did take a lot of injury from that, from cutting himself, though. Like, he was bleeding all over the place. So we get a little of that, and then the other three, the girls, because the black girl, the shinobi, and Sigiri are watching, obviously, and they're very impressed, but, like, it doesn't really look like he can win by himself, necessarily. And then the little girl, she, like...
This is my prediction. I think I'm right. You don't have to have sex to increase somebody's Tao.
Yes.
Because she gave them hugs and they felt revamped from a hug. I just feel like that's the most efficient way. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe that's the most efficient way to, like, do that. And then it's a huge boost, but you could, like, hug, you know, camaraderie, friendship, you know, like, stuff like that.
And that's a lot easier. Well. Like, if you're, like, on your deathbed, like, sex isn't gonna happen.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, a holding hands or a hug is a lot more doable.
Yeah.
So yeah, she, like, not tries to, like, bend over the shinobi, but, like, she, like, tries to, like, jump on her back and, like,
yeah, she, like, hugged her from behind. But she was like, I didn't really feel anything.
Yeah.
But Sigiri did. So it might be, but I, at the same time, though, they were saying, like, you need yin and yang.
Maybe it's compatible.
But all three of them are women. So I think that's probably why it didn't really give them as big of a boost. Maybe. But I might talk about that some more.
I interpret that maybe as more like, because they talk about Tao, like, compatibility and, like, enemy. Like the enemy is, like, your Tao is, like, the natural enemy to mine.
To mine, yeah.
So, like, maybe their Tao doesn't really mix well, but hers and Sigiri's and Shion's Tao mix as well. Because she also, it did a flashback to when she, like, jumped on his back or something. And he was like, oh, like, that did work. But, like, please don't jump on my back anymore.
Yeah.
So, we got a little tidbit of that. And then, the Shinobi like puts like ooze, her like ooze all over Sagiri
and their body because it negates the poison or whatever from the flower dude.
Maybe because their Tao are like natural enemies, like it helps them like reflect him more or something.
They were saying like if they get hit, it won't the poison or whatever won't work, and that's why they drenched themselves inside of it.
Okay, so it's like an antidote then.
Yeah.
So all right. So then they join in the fight, and the flower guy.
Sagiri got some huge props though. Again from Shion. She might be. I mean, we kind of felt like she was like that because he was like, "You're really strong, like extremely strong." Because he was second guessing her, but then her plan and the way she was fighting, he was like, "You're really good at this," and he was proud. He had like a little moment, and he was like, "You're like that."
Really bossed up.
Yeah, but I feel like she's always been like that. It's just I don't know.
In the very internal,
it's internal. She's having a psychological war with herself.
Yeah,
but in terms of just skill and like raw like power and stuff, I do feel like she's S tier in terms of the Asemon. But they kind of said that like she would be top of her class and stuff if she wasn't always in her head.
Yeah. So then she helps them. They're all fighting together. The flower guy's shooting lasers all over the place. And then they get to the point where Shion gets on top of the flower. And he's trying to figure out, like, the place to, like, cut it. Like, where's the actual center of, like, its energy? And then the glasses guy turns out to not be dead. I thought he was dead.
they were able to take the roots out of him too, but he was too far gone though. Like they were like, it's over. He's gonna die. Like even though we stalled it, he's gonna die.
So he was like, it's the petal basically, like the middle.
Yeah, the middle part.
So then he cuts him, and then
the Tenzin was happy to die.
Interesting, yeah.
I think because they're like an eternal. I don't know. He was happy. He felt good about dying.
I finally got to see it or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he was like referencing.
But he was also saying Shion is like in. He was basically in the purgatory. Like he was right between death and life, and he's never seen somebody utilize Tao or be that complete.
Okay.
So I think he was impressed by that because he's never seen anybody use it so perfectly the way he was using it. And he was like, you're literally like one with everything. You're not too much on the other end. You're not too much like on the life or death spectrum. You're like right in the middle and everything is just, you know, I don't know, locked in. So I think it's either he was impressed by that or it could be the combination. He was impressed by that and he was ready to die anyway.
Hmm. So yeah, that was weird. That was interesting. Maybe that's their goal there. Maybe that's what they're training for, to be like that. I don't know. So, yeah, he cuts him, and then the Tenzin dies. That was pretty cool. And then after that, I get to relive my sadness from last week because the guy officially dies, I think, this time. They're like, yeah, like, I have, like, this medicine. Like, the Shinobi's like, I have this medicine, like, but it would be better spent on Shion and y'all, and I have to save something for myself. And like he's basically dead. Like it would be kind of a waste of time.
I mean, she was just being real. She was just like, you know, I'm a real, like, she was like, Shinobi's a realist. Like, we don't sugarcoat anything. Like, in this situation, the best option would be to give Shion some, keep some for myself, obviously, for personal reasons, and then share it with you two. But giving him more medicine wouldn't do anything because he's going to die.
Right.
And it's a difference between saving somebody who can take injuries and suffer and recover then give somebody who's suffering and is going to die and just stalling their death, basically.
So, yeah. Everyone was sad about that. Glasses man dies.
He died happy, though. He died happy.
Yeah. He died and then cuts to Gabimaru, and then this part is messed up, too. Because he's, like, because they're saying, like, Tao, like,
Using it has adverse effects too.
Your brain.
There's positives and they're negative. And they were saying if you use it too much, you'll die.
Yeah.
And every time you use it, I don't think every time you use it, I think it's every time you use it to that extent, because he was going crazy. Like he used it. He you know, drenched his whole body in it, and he killed two top level dudes. So I think it's because he was just fully engulfed in using it. He had a huge effect after, because he lost his memory.
He just like reset his brain, basically.
Yeah, or maybe he didn't lose his memory. Maybe, I mean, he did lose his memory a little bit because he doesn't remember anybody. But also, maybe the Shinobi girl was saying he might have been under a genjutsu, and his wife might not even be real, because she was like, it doesn't make sense for his people, for him to be married to the shogun's daughter. Yeah, in terms of how they are.
That was the messed up part. That was like the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Because it was like, because Gamora actually have a wife?
And you know what I thought was going to happen? I thought he was going to see, because remember it showed his hand being touched when he was outside the house? And then when he looked, nobody was there. I thought it was going to show Sagiri. I thought that's what was going to happen. And not his wife.
No. But I could see him and Sagiri being together. And then.
Yeah. But that's what I thought was going to happen. He wasn't going to see his wife. He was going to see her. And I was going to be like, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, but that would have been weird, though, because she would know, unless she was just pretending like she didn't know Gavimaru or something.
No, I'm saying, like, he would have replaced his previous memory with her, not like she was his wife the whole time, is what I meant.
That would be crazy. Okay. But, yeah, that was kind of messed up. I was like, dang, what if he... Because it's kind of like, if he doesn't have a wife, then like...
Yeah, then he's doing this all for nothing, really.
What's the point of this? Why is he even doing this? And if he doesn't have a wife, everything would be weird. Because that means he's just tried to run away from the village with his, like, make-believe wife. And it would just be so sad if that was the case.
But they... She was saying, the Shinobi was saying, they used the genjutsu to keep people trapped through other means outside of just force. So... Maybe the shogunate thought him having a wife would make him stay, but instead it made him want to run away and live a regular life. So that's why I'm kind of on the side of it's not a genjutsu, because it would be very counterintuitive for the shogunate. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would he do all that? And it backfired, and now he wants to run away because he's the top ninja and killer of their clan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, why would he make a genjutsu with a wife that would make him want to leave?
Yeah, want to leave, yeah. So
that makes sense.
But I do believe that genjutsus can happen, because she even talked about how her clan did it.
I think we looked up the shogun, at least I did one time, and saw he's the master of genjutsu.
Oh, that's what it said on his... Yeah. Okay, so dang. So it might be...
And that kind of explained, I mean, that explained
why he was able to take all those weapons, remember?
Yeah.
And he was showcasing. He was like, you guys can't kill me. I'm invincible. Don't step.
Like Gavimaro is like a little kid, and like them showing him, like getting impaled and stuff. So it was probably just a genjutsu. But
once again, Naruto would destroy this verse. Itachi would be a god.
Itachi would be a god. So that was sad. And then Sagiri's group, they like go deeper into like the palace or whatever area it is.
Yeah.
And they
got some new
clothes. Yeah. Just like chilling there. I forget what the conversation was about. I think they were just trying to like come up with a plan.
How to regroup. And they were also saying Gabimaru's alive right now, and we got to get back to him, because they want to get everybody who is still living together and form a group to, you know, take out the rest.
And Sagiri was just worried about Gabimaru.
Yeah. And Shion was like, are you falling in love with him? She was like, no. I don't like him like that. It's just, you know, he's a cool dude and I respect him. But I don't like him, which I think is a lie. I'm not going to lie. I think it's a lie.
Likes him romantically? I mean, possibly.
I think so, possibly. If his wife is fake, yes, it's going to happen. I think so. If his wife is fake, it's definitely going to happen.
Okay. I respect it.
And you got to think, if his wife is fake, every time he thinks about his wife, he also thinks about like the things Sagiri says, or Sagiri makes him think about his wife.
Yeah, she reminds him.
Yeah, so if his wife is fake, then yeah, I think it might happen.
And then at the end of the episode, there's just some characters that we don't know.
And then, yeah, they were about to, they're going to show up to the island too.
Oh, that's what you think? You think it's new? Is it like new samurai?
I say mines and samurais, yeah.
Okay. That's still not the ninjas, though.
Nah, yeah. It didn't look like ninjas at all. But that dude looks shady.
Which one?
Real shady. The Asaemon at the end. Okay, Asaemon, yeah. Dude.
That's the picture I'm looking at. He looks a little weird.
He was talking to the guy who sent them to the island. Because I guess he thinks they're not doing good, or maybe they all died or something. So he's like, I got to send more people.
Okay.
Well, we got some information about the Bandit Chief, too. Essentially, like his because they were saying about Tao, how if you use it too much, it has adverse effects. And when they mentioned it, it showed the marks on his body. So he might really be gone.
We don't know what's going to happen to him.
Yeah. But I do think his brother might have to kill him, or he might kill his brother and he'll lose his mind.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait until next season. I think it did get officially confirmed. For next season?
Yeah, you had sent me that text saying season 2 confirmed.
Did they have a date? I don't remember.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that was pretty good, Mappa. That was okay. I say that was the best finale.
Finale, yeah, I agree.
For sure.
I think so, too.
It was a really good episode. Left
you some things action, to think about. You had action, you had information. And you had a cliffhanger leading up to the next season.
If you had the rate, if you had the tier, the finales, where would you put them?
Like S A, like that, or just
not like that? Just like
just compare it to each other.
Yeah,
I would say Hell's Paradise would be top number one. Number two would be Number two would have to be between Vinland and I want to say Heavenly. I kind of feel like Demon Slayer's last, only because Demon Slayer was 50 minutes and I felt like the 50 minutes wasn't justified. And I'm comparing it to last season. But that's, you know, I feel like that's respectable to do because it's the same show. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm comparing it to a different show. I'm comparing it to itself. And last season's finale was also 50 minutes and way better. So I think Demon Slayer would be last. Villain would be third. And then Heavenly Delusion. I think Villain and Heavenly Delusion would be tied for second. And then Demon Slayer would be last for me. I would also say I'm gonna go back on what I said about his sister, that she should die. I disagree. I low-key forgot that his whole family already died, which is like a huge point to the story, but they never talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, they never mention him anymore, for real. So I don't think that she needed to die. He already had enough loss. You know what I mean? But
never enough loss.
This is crazy. Never enough loss.
Never enough loss to me.
So I take that statement back, saying that she should have died. That would have made it better. I do think she should have been incapacitated in some form, though. I don't think she should have been okay right away. You know what I mean? Like, It should have been more of a scare. Like,
build
maybe
some suspense.
Yeah, maybe she doesn't die. Because in the moment, like, there was suspense. Suspense was there. You know, like, it did the whole thing. She was burning up. He was in the air. But I think she shouldn't have necessarily, it should have been a toss up. It should have been up in the air. You know what I mean? Like, And they could have resolved it next season, or when the lady was sending the letter, that would have gave us some idea like, okay, she's probably not dead, but she's just not, you know, good right now. I think that would have been a little bit better.
For me, I feel like my number one is Hell's Paradise, and number two, Heavenly Delusion, number three, Demon Slayer, number four.
Oh, Vinland's getting last place?
Yes, Vinland is getting last place. I don't care what nobody says.
Oh, okay, internet. Okay. If we're going based off the last episode, then yeah, I agree. I was taking the second to last episode.
No.
Okay, yeah. Then, yeah, Vinland's last place then.
He's getting last place. I don't care what nobody says.
Because that could have been, I was thinking this too. That could have just been the first episode for the next season. Honestly. Yeah. They didn't have to do that. They could have just ended the episode, the second to last episode, and then made that episode the first episode for next season, and it would have been fine.
I completely agree. But with that being said, it's time for the Weebies.
The Weebies. That's the name of the award show, the Weebies. Okay.
The first seasonal Weebies. What was the animation of... What show had the best animation of the season?
Probably Hell's Paradise.
You say Hell's Paradise?
Either Hell's Paradise or... Demon Slayer had moments too. But it's between those two.
I would say Demon Slayer, just because I know we've seen the Demon Slayer animation for several years now, but I feel like it still looks really nice.
Yeah, it still looks good, but the CGI wasn't, I don't know, in this season, CGI was very jarring.
Questionable CGI choices.
Like the tree dragons and the fish attacking the village, you know what I mean?
But Hell's Paradise animation was pretty decent. Yeah. I have seen better from MAPPA, though.
Yeah. I just think for me, the fights were better and more entertaining in Hell's Paradise.
That's true.
Yeah, Demon Slayer had his moments, like when Tanjiro used the Hinokami Kagura and
I think Thunder it was really Reven. Cool when when Hatengo first showed up and he first split up into different demons and they had like the lightning.
The lightning and the wing, the staff, and the fan, and everything. Yeah,
that was cool. And Vinland Saga is not even a contender.
Yeah,
for animation.
I want to also preface this by saying, I feel like when we talk about animation, it's strictly during fights, not necessarily when they're just walking and talking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's at least how I'm judging it. Because the overall animation of all the shows were good. Like no show looked bad, right. But when I preference or say this one had the best animation, it's in relation to their fight scenes for me.
Right. For the most part. And even Heavenly Delusion had some really cool fight scene
animation. Yeah, fight scenes, yeah.
So, best moment of the season. Moment of the season for you.
Moment of the season when Thorfinn finally put peace away and said, I will fight if I need to against Snake.
Oh, okay. Was that the part where he says, I have no enemies, or is that a different part?
No, that's a different part. That was okay. When Garter was in the barrel for the wagon, and then Snake showed up because he knew something was up, and then he was protecting Garter.
Okay.
And he put his fist up. And then it had like a flashback between when he was younger with the daggers and then him currently. I would say that was the moment. Only because I thought that was going to be the shift in his ideology of. And he also talked to Oscalad too in his mind. I thought that was going to be the shift of him realizing, okay, peace. Like I really do have no enemies and peace is what I'm my overarching goal. But if it comes down to it, if I have to use force or have to use, you know, violence, so to speak, I will. But it won't be in the means of trying to kill someone. Kind of like when his dad was guarding him in season one when they were on a ship. Like, he didn't like, kill anybody. He hurt them, like, to make it so they couldn't, you know, be a threat anymore. But he didn't kill anybody when Oscalad and them tried to take over their ship. So I thought he would realize, okay, peace is obviously my end goal, and that's what I want. But if I need to, I will use force. And I still think he's gonna battle with that next season. Because the 100 punch thing was kind of crazy. I'm not going to lie, but.
That was dumb.
I understand his reasons behind
it. Now that you remind me, I did really like the part where Thorfinn was like, it was before the part with Snake, but like he was like in hell, kind of. Like he was getting dragged
down. Oh, yeah, talking to Askeladd.
Was down there.
Yeah.
That was a good
part. That was a really good part, too. And then he had to climb his way out, and all the dead bodies were on his back. Villain had moments. It had moments. It really did. It was a good season. I just think the finale was kind of
weak. If that part was, I think that part was in the first 12 episodes though.
Yeah, it was. It was in the first 12 episodes.
Like Villain had a long season, like 24 weeks or 23 weeks. So
yeah,
so it was like, but my best moment, I would say the moment that really got me was Nezuko fake dying. Because they, really
I didn't. It didn't get me because I didn't. I just knew she wasn't gonna die. No, I didn't read or know anything. I just was like, they're not gonna do this. This show would never do something like that. You know what I mean?
See, like so, me, I kind of felt like there's a chance because I keep hearing that stuff does hit the fan, and I know of some transformation, not transformation, but thing happening to Tanjiro, and I keep trying to think of what would cause that to happen. So. I thought it was possible, and the slideshow just got me. I was just like, bro, it just got me. okay. Best MC. MC of the season.
Gabimaru. Or okay. Kiriko.
Okay. What? Why do you say them?
Gabimaru because, like, I had no knowledge of either shows prior, so it was a new character to me, and they're both pretty cool characters. Like, I like both of them, so that's my reason.
Okay.
Something new, something fresh.
For me, it would be, I say Kiriko and Maru, just because I kind of count them as, like, double MCs.
Yeah, the tandem. I agree, too. The tandem of the two.
Yeah. Heavenly Delusion, also, I knew nothing about before Jason said we should watch the show. And at first, I thought it looked like Rick and Morty. And
I was like, what?
Funny looking. The manga like cover like Rick and Morty. And I read like the first chapter. And I was like, okay, this could be interesting. And I did really come to like Kiriko and Maru across the season. Just like their interactions with each other and other people were just so funny. But also, they got deep sometimes.
I agree with that, serious. Too. Gabimaru didn't have a whole lot of depth to him at first. I feel like he changed over the season, especially when he got to the island. I mean, prior to that, even when we, because at first he was just like Gabimaru, you know, the hollow, no feelings, no emotions. And then Sagiri, when he was about to get finally executed, the last, you know, his true execution, because everything else failed, she was like, I know you have something you're trying to live for. And that gave us a little bit more about his character and who he is. But overall, though, he was pretty flat for the most part with, you know what I mean? But he's just cool, though. He's super cool.
He's funny,
too. And then the layers to him is also interesting as well.
Yeah, and then here and there we'd get signs of, like, he's changing and, like, other characters seeing the change in him. Like, this is Gabimaru the Hollow. That he doesn't really fit the description that I had of him. So, And him saving, like, the little girl and stuff like that. So.
Right.
Best support character. This is just any character outside the MC.
Best support character. I would probably say, if we're going Kiriko and Maru in tandem, then I would say Sagiri.
Okay, she was on
or Einar.
Okay,
Sagiri or Einar.
Sagiri was definitely on top of my list. She was probably like number two. But I thought really hard about this question because it was hard for me. And then I was like, wait, Canute was definitely my best support character.
Oh, I mean, do you consider him a support character? He's like the big bad low-key for the season.
I know, but I consider him a support character. To me, I just thought it was anyone but the MC for me.
Okay.
But we could have a best antagonist section. So maybe he'll be my best antagonist, Canute, for that. He was just like, he was like a menace, but like, no, he was a menace. He's like, I didn't like him.
He's a menace. He's a menace.
I did not like him the whole
He's a menace. At first, I liked him because I forgot what I said, but then the more shady stuff he did, the more I was like, all right, bro. I think it was when he killed his brother is what really did it.
That's what got me. Because when he was poisoning the other kings.
The other, it's like, all right, whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't want to fight. All fair. And he can just, whatever. Yeah. But, even though that's a war crime. But,
But when he poisoned his own brother and his brother wasn't even like threatening him in any way.
Yeah, at all or anything.
And then he was seeing heads of his dad and talking to him. I was like, yeah, this guy's crazy. And honestly, he was crazy all the way up until the end. Because at the end, his reaction to Thorfinn was just like so silly.
But he agreed with him and it made him stop doing what he was doing. He pulled his troops from the areas. Because the whole reason he did this extortion plan was because he had too many resources spread out. Like, he had armies and soldiers in places he just conquered. And his right-hand man was like, you know, we don't really need this many people. And he was like, no, because as soon as we pull our troops, they're going to try to attack us, you know, and take the land back. When the exact opposite happened, literally when he pulled his troops, they felt like he had respect for the people there and had trust, and his graces with them went up.
But it's just funny that, like, Thorfinn didn't
was the
tell
one to
him.
Talk him out of it.
He talked him out, but he didn't say anything even about that stuff.
Yeah, he just...
But it just talked
I mean, he
him
didn't know
it.
Anything about that.
Yeah.
And he then, was like, I'm going to run and just make a place
what
where
talked him
people
out
don't
of
have
it,
to...
Not like his right-hand man.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, just make sure the place you make doesn't exclude too many people so that I don't have to do a lot of work. And take them in for the place I make.
So yeah, he was my favorite support. Best voice acting performance.
Best voice acting performance.
Or best voice actor, I should say. Mine was Joichi from Heavenly Delusion. I thought he was really funny.
Oh yeah, I agree.
He's just a funny dude.
The storyteller.
See you, bye-bye.
Yeah, he's definitely, I would say he's the best too, yeah.
He's a funny dude. What was the best fights?
Best fights? I want to say... Honorable mention for me is the first time we see Kiriko and Maru fight against those people.
Like the first episode?
Yeah, the first episode. Because he jumped off the fence. He was kicking him, and then she used the gun. Or I don't think the gun went off.
No,
the gun was jammed. Oh, it did? Okay. But it was only one charge. It was only one shot. That's an honorable mention for me. But number one, I would probably have to say Shion versus the last one. Shion versus the Tenzin.
I actually wrote down the same exact thing. And I don't know if it's recency bias. I was going to say either Team Shion, like the whole team versus the Tenzin, or Gabimaru versus the soloing the two guys. The two
guys,
like,
yeah.
Not Tenzin, but
because the thing with Demon
guys.
Slayer, none of the fights were really fights for the most part. They were just super attacks that killed the main guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tanjiro used Hinokami Kagura on like all six... Or not six, all four of the dudes at once. And then when he finally split or absorbed, you know, and became the kid version of the demon, we didn't even really see him fight. It was just a lot of evasion. It was
just got overpowered.
Yeah, overpowered. And then the other guy got one-shotted by Morichiro, too, pretty much. Because he shot the needles at him, poisoned him, put him in a vase. And then Morichiro got out and just unlocked his curse mark. His mark. And then just one shot him. You know what I mean? So it wasn't really any super action during this season. And that's why I'm like, you know.
Kanroji didn't even get shown.
Yeah, Kanroji barely did anything. She showed up and saved the leader of the swordsmith village. But even then, she used her like whip sword. But it was no fight. It was just like, let me get this thing out of here real quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was no choreography back and forth between the bad guy and the good guy.
And then Vinland Saga did have some fights, but
yeah,
Mappa didn't really give the animation that much energy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Let me see. Best girl.
I would say Sagiri.
Mine was also Sagiri. That's pretty easy. Like, I feel like, now that I think about it, which show, like, Demon Slayer doesn't really have.
Doesn't really, yeah, that's what I was saying. When you sent me the list, I was like, it's only two options. Is Maru or not Maru? Is Kiriko or Sagiri? And I guess you could say a dark horse or a shocker would be the other shinobi girl. But yeah. I didn't really like her character. I mean, she's growing on me a little bit more, but when she first was introduced, I didn't like her at all.
Like, I feel like Hell's Paradise had the best female characters cast out of all of them, and also the most. And the reason I put the best girl category is just because I feel like people, not just the fans, but like also creators, don't really give a lot of female characters like attention. But I feel like Hell's Paradise did a pretty good job of that. In Demon Slayer, it's really apparent. Like, Nezuko doesn't even talk. But she's also like a fan favorite. Like, she's a fan favorite. I like her. She's one of my favorites, but she don't even talk. And besides her, there were like you saw Kanroji. Like, she didn't even get any screen time. And they were the only two females of the season, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they were the only two that showed up. And the at the end, they showed the demon lady, who the demon doctor, but...
Yeah, but
that was about
5
it.
5 seconds. Yeah. And then Vinland Saga, the only females we have were Arnhide, who played a pretty important role. But
yeah, I liked Arnhide up until
the end. Yeah, I didn't like end, her at the end.
Yeah, I didn't like her at the end. I'm like, all right, come on now.
Like, in the trope, like, and then we had Thorfinn's mother and sister in the end. But
yeah, besides, his mom, I liked his mom. I didn't really care for his sister.
And then, like, Kettle's wife.
Because my whole thing is, like, she did this kind of act like you don't know deal with her dad. Or not act like you... She didn't act like she didn't know her dad, but when he died, she was just like, oh, you know, it's natural thing. That happens. But then at the end, when, like, the whole day was over or whatever, after she was just working and kind of trying to, you know, avoid it and act like it didn't happen, her mom was like... You know, I think you should take a break. You've been working. And she was like, no, I'm going to keep working. She was like, no, I think you should take a break. And then she broke down and started crying because, you know, Thor's died. So that's why I'm like, for you to still kind of have the same sentiment when your brother comes back is kind of weird to me.
I also think it's weird. And like, the guy on TikTok was trying to justify it. But
yeah, like, oh, that's her character. That's who she is, bro.
Doesn't mean I have to like it or
exactly.
Like,
I'm like think it's this, like, this right. Dude doesn't understand her character. Why would she do this? I understand her character. I get what she's doing and why she's doing it. That doesn't mean I like it or I think it's good.
Yeah, like, I thought it was kind of dumb. Like, I didn't get it. I feel like you should be excited for your long lost brother.
Lost brother, exactly.
But yeah,
and then especially like with the whole thing with her dad. Like, you just act like, oh, him dying was nothing. But then you break down because you know you really miss him. So you would think, oh,
like, looking at his cracked sword and doing all this stuff.
So, whatever, you know, whatever.
But yeah, Finland didn't really have any women besides Arnhide who played.
Oh, and the mistress had mistress.
Yeah, Kettle's.
She was just an asshole, though.
Yeah. Like, she did was abuse the other female character.
And yeah. Oh, my God.
And then Heavenly Delusion had Kiriko and at the hotel. Well, Heavenly Delusion had a lot of
people. Oh, the inn. Yeah, the lady at the inn. The King of Hotels.
Tokyo.
Tokyo. And then the other, Mimi Hime. And they had a lot of female characters. And they were all good. I liked all of them. I liked the lady at the inn, too. Even though she only got like an episode or two. The lady at the inn.
Are you talking about the director or assistant director?
No, remember they were traveling and they stopped at an inn and the man eater killed the lady because she was like, no, don't kill him. That's my son.
I thought you were saying the inn. You meant the inn.
Yeah, the inn, the innkeeper. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And she had the shotgun in her bed.
She was so confusing, though. Like,
yeah, at first I thought she was a bag. I thought she was going to try to kill them or something. But she was just trying to protect, like, get them to bed to protect them from the man eater.
Yeah, she was a confusing character, but she was funny. And she just died. That was like not the first hilarious moment, but that was really hilarious.
And the amputee lady who didn't have legs.
Oh, yeah. She was
sad. She wasn't even the head leader. She was like a head figure because you had the dude in the background who was really leading the what was their group called?
It was just like anti-technology. Technology, people. Yeah. I don't know. See, I thought you were talking about the girl who's like hooked up to the robot. Sad.
No, she was a good character too, but she didn't really talk or say anything. We just knew that she loved the.
Well, she talked through the computer.
Yeah. Ooh, low key, I might want to change my moment because when he killed himself, that was I'm like, dang, bro. I thought he was gonna show him where Robin was at, but I mean, at this point, it's fuck Robin.
Yeah, exactly. So.
It's like he would have been better off not even saying, "Nah, I don't know this dude," or being like, "Yeah, I met him. He was an asshole," or something. I don't know.
Let me see. What was the best opening? It's okay if you don't listen to him because I have my best opening and ending song.
Best opening. I don't watch him. I usually watch him one time through, but I think Hell's Paradise had a really good intro song.
Yeah.
I like
that song.
That
song is a banger.
I like this song. Demon Slayers was, I ain't really care for Demon Slayers. Vinland had two. Vinland's was all right. I like the first rock, like screaming, like metal.
Those are okay.
Villains was good.
Hell's Paradise.
Paradise. I think Hell's Paradise though got it. Yeah. That one got it. That one definitely has it. But then I would say Vinland would be my second.
Okay. What was the best ending?
Best ending would have to go to Hell's Paradise.
Oh, best ending?
Ending song. Okay. Hell's Paradise ending was trash. It's like super soft music. I'm not gonna lie. It comes in and it's like, I just cut that shit off as it come on. best ending. Does Heavenly Delusion have an ending song?
Mine is Heavenly Delusion. It's like,
I think the problem with mine is because I watch it on Hulu. So you know how when the show ends, it just goes to the next show.
Yeah.
So I can't see it. So that's why I've never seen Heavenly Delusions.
Heavenly Delusions is really abrupt. Like when it cuts, it's just like no.
Because Vinland's was just the cloud. It was like clouds and then like nighttime and then soft music as well. So yeah, I can't say on this one.
Heavenly Delusions is funny. Best finale we already said. Best. I only got a few more. I only three more. Who had the best character design? Who was the drippiest character?
The drippiest character
of the season. Yeah.
Drippiest character of the season. I like Joichi because he had like a poncho with a hood when they first seen him, and he had like goggles on too when he crawled out.
Yeah.
Just for like the, I don't know. He looked pretty cool, but he wasn't like, I wouldn't say he was the most drippiest. I feel like all the people in Hell's Paradise dressed the same for the most part, except for the Bandit Chief.
Yeah, they look pretty similar. You know, I really like the Kenoshis.
Most drippiest.
Mine is Hatengu, the child form of the
demon.
Yeah.
Definitely him. That's what I was about to say, too. I was about to say the child form of the demon looked the coolest. He was the drippiest. He reminds me of, like, Kid Buu.
Yeah.
A little bit. Even though they don't look anything alike, but just the, I don't know, the menacingness of him and, you know.
Just like the aesthetic of just being like childish, but like still looking like mean.
Yeah.
Like muscular and stuff. Like, yeah, he was cool. And he had like the drums behind him and the, not sash, but like thing around his neck. So yeah, it goes to him. What was the saddest death? And Nezuko doesn't count because she didn't actually die.
Yeah, she didn't actually die, yeah. I would have to say the blonde dude, bro.
The guy who shot himself in Heavenly Delusion?
Yeah. No. Yeah. No.
What blonde dude?
The blind guy's...
Tenza.
Yeah, blind guy's student.
In Hell's Paradise, Tenza.
Yeah, Tenza in Hell's Paradise. But it's either that or... I don't want to say it was sad because I felt like somebody was going to die, but it shocked me that it was him. I thought it was going to be the blind master. I thought the blind master was going to die. I didn't think he would die. But I definitely would say the saddest death would probably have to be the guy who shot himself in the head.
Okay. Mine was also the computer girl and then the guy shooting himself right after that on the rooftop. That was the saddest one. But Tenza dying also got me. And also Glasses guy from Hell's Paradise also.
But his wasn't sad to me because he was in Euphoria. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the first time we thought he died, he was in Euphoria.
Yeah, yeah, he was in Euphoria. But then they took him out of it, and then he died regularly.
Yeah. He was sad. And then, last question. Oh, not last. Second last. Worst character. Well, your most hated character of the
Robin.
Season. Yeah, that's easy.
I just don't know what he does for the story yet. Like, realistically, other than being someone Kiriko wanted to chase and find. Outside of that, I don't know what he brings to the narrative. Like, obviously, they're going to ask something because he had that man eater and the woman in the closet. So I'm pretty sure there's more to him. But based on what we know now, he was just there to make. You know what I mean? Like, he was just there to have to be something to chase.
Character development.
Yeah. And then, so I would say Robin.
Still alive out there. So. But yeah, Robin definitely easily took the cake for most hated character. I don't even think
I didn't hate anybody else.
Really compares.
Yeah, I didn't hate anybody else.
Hell's Paradise.
The vase dude, the artist vase, he was kind of trash. Yeah, that was annoying. He was a trash demon.
I guess Canute would be the only runner up for me.
Yeah, but I like Canute. Even though I don't like what he does, he was still a good character to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like what he was doing. I think he was extremely vital.
He's a good character, but I did not like him. I liked him, but I didn't like him. He's a villain. And then, what was your show of the seasons? Last question.
Show of the seasons. Show. I think Heavenly Delusion. I liked every episode. It wasn't a bad episode for me in Heavenly Delusion. I do feel like the finale was kind of lackluster, but there was no bad episodes to me in Heavenly Delusion.
I agree. That is also what I put down. Heavenly Delusion was just a great show. Had a great first season. All the episodes were good. Good ending for the most part. It was just great. I just give it a 10 out of 10. I recommend it.
Yeah, same. If the next season was out, I definitely would give it 10 out of 10. But since the next season isn't out, I kind of feel like you end with asking, you're like, dang. You know what I mean? I don't know. Because like, they showed a boat at the end, and I'm like, dang. It didn't feel like that was the end. You know what I mean? It didn't feel like this season was.
We still don't know concluded. A lot.
Stuff. Like with Hell's Paradise, the end of the season, all right, we figured out Tao. We figured out how to kill Tensons. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of stuff was answered at the end of that season. Even though there was a cliffhanger at the end, but a lot of the questions we had during the season were answered. Whereas in Heavenly Delusion, I still have those, like, a lot of the questions I have are still, you know, unanswered.
Really, nothing was really answered.
Yeah. So that's my only thing with that.
There was no wrap-up of anything. Just, like, the only wrap-up was Robin, really.
Yeah, they found Robin, and we find out he's a terrible person. That was the only wrap-up.
But besides that, everything else was great. And that concludes all of my categories for the first season of Weebies. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it for me.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to all of MAPPA's workers working triple overtime to bring us these shows. Thank you to the Demon Slayer UFO table for
producing mid. Let me stop, bro. Because they gonna post it. They're going to be like, bro, this dude. Bro, I'm not going to lie. Because you had toxic fan base on there. I know we didn't do it. I can't speak on it because I don't really read a whole lot of stuff on, you know, in anime. I kind of just watch it and consume it how we consume it. Like, I just watch it. And if I see something on Twitter or something, I see it. But I'm not, you know, I'm not engulfed in it. Like, I'm not just seeing clips of people talk. You know what I'm saying? Outside of when I watch it.
I look up stuff a lot for like marketing research purposes. I just have to be caught up on what people are talking.
Right, yeah. Because then you come here and you ask questions and we talk about, you know, those topics. Like, I get that. But I did see, based on some of the comments, I would say it's definitely either Demon Slayer, because I feel like people say, oh, I mean, you have the one group of people that say animation carries the show, which I think it does.
Kind of true.
Respectively. But I like this, I like the story as well. Like, the story's not super complex, and that's okay. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an anime. It's just a TV show. It's a cartoon. You know, I mean, not to say it like that, because there's a lot of animes that do have complex stories and, you know, deep things. But at the end of the day,
and if, there's live Demon Slayer, Demon Slayer is coming on by the cinematography.
Yeah. It's just like
Fast and Furious.
I don't know, man. It's just when I come to Demon Slayer because I want to see samurais fight demons. And that's, you know, that's what I came to see. And then the story is good, too. Like, I like the story. Like, it's not bad. It's super simple. It's like, this is what it is. Tanjiro wants to save his sister from becoming a demon or transform her back. And he's in this group of people that go kill demons. And that's what they do. And the main demon, the big guy, wants to be able to survive the sun and rule the world. That's the story, literally. Like, there's nothing more to it. Am I wrong?
No. I mean,
so, I don't know what these people are saying, like, oh, it's so much more. No, that's literally what it is, bro. It's a kid who's trying to save his sister, and a big bad guy wants to rule the world. Simple.
There's nothing wrong with being simple.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy it. I like the show.
And there's also but nothing
when the
wrong
when
being...
the fighting doesn't live, like when the fighting is not that good or is the action isn't there, then what are you relying on? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you relying on the story? Because the story's not that crazy either. So it's like you gotta pick and shoot. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I feel like they get butt hurt and they're like, oh well. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I think this season made it really evident how important the animation and fighting are. And UFO Table works with the manga. Obviously, they follow the manga, but they embellish a lot to make it better for the fans to watch. Cause like it's funny. I'm reading Jujutsu Kaisen, like up until where they are in the anime, just so I can catch up on like the information. Mm-hmm. Cause I haven't watched in a long time. And like, you know, the fight with Yuji and, I think his name Nanami, the glasses guy, and Megiddo, the transfiguration curse or whatever. That you know the fight where they're like going back, like Yuji and Nanami are going back and forth hitting them.
Yeah,
and
punching
like,
him.
He's
and
like,
he's like
crap,
stuck
I'm
and
about
it's like
die.
Fight back, fight back.
Yeah. that was literally like two panels.
Right.
Like, it's like one panel, Yuji punches him, one panel, glasses guy punches him, and then the curse immediately does, like, the domain expansion. But, like, in the anime, it's, like, several
him
seconds.
Getting punched on,
So, like, the studio has to do a good job with, like, embellishing and making something more out of sometimes not very much.
Yeah.
So that
because some mangas don't have any. For instance, One Punch Man has a lot of. Like, if you look at One Punch Man's fights in the manga, it looks like animation. You know, I'm like, it's not a whole lot that the animators have to do to embellish in, because the artist, the, you know, the creator does a good job of depicting the whole fight, so to speak. At least from the stuff I've seen, like from the manga panels I've seen, it looks like it's low key animation. It's not animated, but the pictures, there's so many pictures showing what's happening in a fight that when somebody does have to go and animate it, they don't have to guess or add too much to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Whereas, like you were saying, in Jujutsu Kaisen, it was two frames of him getting punched on, and then the animator took that and gave it more life.
Right.
So, and also I've seen somewhere on Twitter, because it was a picture, it was this dude carrying a bunch of, I was going to send it to you. It was a dude carrying a bunch of equipment. It was like car parts and just on his back, and the dude on the bottom, it was like the caption was like, name this anime. And then it was like, animation was the dude carrying the stuff, and then the plot was all the car parts on top. And a lot of people said Demon Slayer. When I was just scrolling through the thread, they were like, Demon Slayer, Demon Slayer, Demon Slayer. I'm like oh my god. But I said, I'm saying this to say, I feel like also the only reason I brought this up because I read somewhere, I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody was like, when Demon Slayer came out as a manga, it wasn't even that popular. It didn't get popular until it was animated.
Right.
And that kind of proves that animation carried the show.
That's true.
And I'm not going to lie, because I the only time when I first found out about Demon Slayer, the season one was already done. And I only found out about it because I saw Tanjiro fighting the spider dude. And I was like, what's this?
I saw it too.
And then I was like, all right, let me check it out. So, I don't know. Y'all Demon Slayer fans, I don't know. We can talk about it. We really can talk about it if you want to. But, you know, that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
It's not like a Vinland Saga where people will watch it despite the animation and no fights being there.
Yeah.
It's not the same, so. But, yeah. You know, going off a tangent, if we're going to do worst fan base, it would probably be, for me, either Demon Slayer or Vinland Saga. And for Demon Slayer, the reasons you're saying, but, like, at least with Demon Slayer, if the fans are, like, delusional, it's like, okay, it's, like, one of the most, it's, like, one of the most popular anime in the world. Like, I understand if you're kind of delusional. Yeah. But, like, with Vinland Saga, I see people online saying, in the past few weeks, it's saying, like, Vinland Saga is better than Naruto, like, apparently to Naruto, and, like, just doing, like, saying weird stuff that
just
I don't
Naruto
really
in general or Shippuden, and I can't even, bro.
Naruto.
I can't even say that. Naruto overall. No, it's not better than Naruto overall. Like, come on, bro. What are we talking about?
People saying they're like, freaking, I don't know, just people going back and forth just about weird stuff. Like, no, it's not better than Naruto, bro. It's a big three anime. It's one of the most popular animes in the world.
Ever. Yeah, like.
No. No, it's not that. But, like, whatever.
It's really Naruto and Dragon Ball Z, bro. Like.
Yeah.
Not in terms of sales, but if you ask somebody what they know or anime, I guarantee two of the first people is going to be Goku or Naruto.
Bro, Goku got a float in the Thanksgiving parade.
Goku got a day.
Years. Yeah, he got a Goku day.
Like, come on now.
So, yeah. But that's all I got to say about that.
That's all I got, too.
So, thank you for listening to Week in Weebs, episode 34, I believe. The first season of Weebies this week. Malevolent Spirits, I think, already came out yesterday.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm going to watch that.
But yeah, we got, what is it, Jujutsu in a couple of days, and Psalm 100, and Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War. So yeah, tune in for those. Probably record sometime this weekend.
Did you see the Suicide Squad Isekai anime?
I saw like a thumbnail for it. It's an anime?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay. Yeah, that's not the first time DC did some like anime like stuff. But yeah. Thank you for listening. Peace out.
Wait. Oh yeah, peace. No, I was